is KAYT-FM.
88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. 100.1 Lake Charles.
And KQJO-FM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
I give glory to God for being alive today. I said for being alive. And this being the month of February, we must recognize Black History Month. And I just left the west side of Cleveland preaching to almost an auditorium full of people. And the people that were sitting there were Black, white, Hispanic. And Martin King's dream was not that just Blacks would do well, but he said that the Sunday morning worship hour was the most segregated worship hour of the day, because Blacks worship with Blacks, whites worship with whites, Hispanics with Hispanics. But today, I had Black people sit next to white people. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, we've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way. And I want to say to all of you that if you are 30 and under, then you really don't remember some of the struggle that our parents and my father, if you're 40-something or better, maybe you've been called the N-word in public, or you've been called some other names. And so even though we celebrate what God is doing now, never let us forget the struggle of Dr. King and Medgar Evers and Sojourner Truth. And come on, somebody. I cannot imagine not being able to go to whatever bathroom I want to, or drink out of whatever water fountain. I've never even experienced that, so I believe it would be horrific for us to forget the struggle because of how good we got it now. So I think we should just give all of the people who fought for our rights. Come on, somebody. Get your Bibles with me real quick. Get your Bibles with me and go to Ephesians. Ephesians 5, and then I'll let you sit down in a moment. I began a series a few weeks ago called Focus on the Family. We're in our fourth installment. It is in this series that I'm attempting to get the family back to where God wants the family. I'm teaching this from a biblical perspective, not a street perspective, not an Ebony magazine perspective, not an Oprah perspective. All the things that have trained us, we really want to reteach ourselves to be kingdom-minded. Amen. How many of you want to do it the way God says do it? So again, to our singles, it's a wonderful time to pay attention, because you have an opportunity to learn what to look for and how to be before you get married, as opposed to on the other side of your marriage. To those of you that are divorcees, to those of you that are made mistakes, let's see what God said, what maybe no one else had ever taught us, so we can get to the next level. When you have Ephesians, say amen.
Amen.
I want you to look at verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. I want to talk about submission, the other S word. Go ahead and be seated. Submission, the other S word. I tried last week. I don't know how good of a job I did, but I tried last week. I did my best to explain to men how important it was to love your wives. I don't know how good of a job I did, but I tried my best to speak to men about agape love, that you love your wife in spite of, not just because of. I tried to teach the men who have been raised by the streets that God has another agenda for your wife and that she's your most important asset. I tried my best to tell men what God has to say. I don't know how good of a job I did, but I know I did my best. And today, with the same tenacity, I want to speak to women about how to be subject to their own husbands or submitted to their own husbands. Now, last week, women were shouting and running and crying. And I'm hoping that today, women will be just as aggressive in their pursuit of a shout as they were on last week. I guess the first thing we need to do is define submission before we go another further. Because Webster says that submission is to yield to the will or authority of. So when I see the word submission, the first thing I start tripping on is the word yield. And what does yield mean? Well, let's think about it. Yield. Well, I think about when I'm driving and I see a yield sign. And while I'm driving, it says yield. Now, because I understand how to drive, I know that yield doesn't mean stop. And if the other car chooses to go, let them go. If they give you the right of way, then you flow. But even if they do go first, you don't have to stop. You just have to slow down long enough to let them go and then flow right in behind them. And if it goes well, it's real smooth. Yielding to your husband does not mean that you cease to be. Because the unfortunate reality is that most women think that to submit means to stop. Or he's attempting to take away who I am. Or to rob me of my identity. In particular, if you had a domineering mother. Did I go there? In particular, if you had a mother who was loud and ran everybody and everybody's business and told your father what to do, and your father sat in the chair quiet because he was scared. Didn't nobody want to mess with Mama Miss Mabel because Mama Miss Mabel cussed everybody out. But come on. And then if you left Big Mama run everybody and then hooked up with some dumb men, now you don't trust men because you've had some bad ones. Plus, you never saw submission in your house. So then you get married and you bring all the pains and messed up stuff from your past into your marriage with your kingdom husband. And there's a lot of confusion because you don't know how to submit. You've never seen it.
I thought it'd be kind of quiet today.
Your wives, submit to your husbands, verse 22. As you do to the Lord. Now this is vital. As to the Lord does not mean that a wife is to submit to her husband in the same way she submits to the Lord, but rather that her submission to her husband is her service rendered to the Lord. In other words, come here. He is not Jesus. There isn't but one Jesus in your life. So when you submit to your husband, you do not submit to him like you submit to Jesus, because doing that, you'd be breaking one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God. And the problem is we often confuse submission with stupidity. Because stupidity has many of the characteristics of submission. Oh, they don't know what I said. I'll back that thing up. Every woman you see running behind a man is not submitted. Sometimes they're stupid. Because the Bible does not say that a woman should submit to a man. The Bible says that a wife should submit to her husband, not the man of the month. And so every man that you date who's the man of the month, and you and the children know he won't be there long, and you're running around, it has the appearance of submission, because remember that stupidity has some of the characteristics of submission. Because submission means to follow. And sometimes stupidity means to follow, but you're following out of afraidness. that no one else will love you, or lack of self-esteem. So, I want to make this very clear. God has called every wife to submit to her husband, not every woman to submit to every man. You see, look at a brother and say, you ain't my husband. I don't know who you think you are. Praise the Lord. Now, also it says, watch this, in verse 24, in every lawful thing. So I submit to you, watch this, as much as I can without breaking the heart of God. If it ever comes between you and God, you lose. So you say, bring you something to eat, I'll do that. You say, smoke a joint with you, I can't go there. Well, I'll divorce you, goodbye. Well, why we can't go out no more? We used to go out because I'm saved now. I can't go to clubs with you, but I will go to a movie. You're my husband, but I can't break God's heart to please you. So in every lawful thing, if it's biblical or if it does not offend the Bible, you should do it. Let's talk about this. So then we dealt with the word yield. So the Bible tells men to love and women to submit. Wow, let's deal with this, because last week I began to deal with the love languages. How many of you remember last week, The Love Languages by Gary Chapman? It's in the bookstore. You can get it, because I asked men, do you know your wife? Remember, I'm not talking to fiancés, boyfriends, and girlfriends. I'm talking to husbands and wives. Do you know the language of your wife? And I gave them to you, and let's go over them again. Say them after me. Number one, words of affirmation. Number two, receiving gifts. Number three, quality time. Number four, acts of service. Number five, physical touch. Which one of these are your spouse's language? Which one him on the most? Which one of these drive him the most? Now, these same five characteristics also apply to men. So if you know your husband, which one of the five drives him? Number one, watch this, words of affirmation. Well, men like that, because you know what men love to hear? You the man. Man, we have this ego thing, and when you're speaking to us, even if it's not true, we still like to hear it. We like to hear that you're great and you're a good provider, and I'm glad God put you in my life. Because here's something I don't want you to laugh at, because it's serious. Men, I told you this before, go to strip clubs to hear strippers lie to them, because their lie sounds better than your truth. And so you don't have sex in strip clubs, but all women do is sit on your lap and lie to you, and you pay them money to lie. But men get broke in strip clubs trying to hear a word of affirmation, because all that comes out your mouth is, you don't make enough money, and you're stupid, and you don't do enough. All you do is play the game all day. You don't love the babies. You don't do this. And you're like, I don't hear no women saying amen. So you never look at me allow another woman to say more good things to your husband than you. There are too many women who don't say enough and then get in line when your husband cheats and say, how did he do that, Pastor? I say, well, what did you say to him? Have you spoken to him? Have you told him he's wonderful? Is he going over there for sex, or is he going over there to hear somebody tell him he's somebody? No woman should ever out-talk you, because in particularly if you're married to, psychologically referred, an alpha male. An alpha male is one like myself who has a lot of people telling you you're great all the time. And so women get in line every week, and about 100 of them, Pastor, I love you. You changed my life. You changed my husband's life. We love you. Thank you, Pastor. Then I go home. And it can be a letdown, because you've been hearing great things all day, and then you get home to fussing. But my wife, praise God, speaks into me more than any little sister at the church. So when you tell me I'm great, that ain't the first time I heard it today, because she already, oh, come on, somebody up in here. You got to speak into your husband. But then number two, receiving gifts. Now, most men don't want you to buy them anything, because you buy the wrong thing anyway. I mean, my wife and kids gonna get me some ties one day. I thought they were trying to be funny when I looked at them ties. I said, well, y'all want me to wear this too? But what's wrong with that tie? Because number one, a man is thinking, I'm struggling already trying to make money work. Just respect me. Y'all ain't got to buy me nothing because I want all the money in the house and I'm trying to do some things. So, but women now, most women love to receive a little something, something. But that's not your husband's language. So what's his language? Number three, quality time. Now watch this. That's not a big thing with most men, or quantity of time. Hear me. It's not that he doesn't like being with you, but when the last time you ever heard a man saying, we don't spend enough time. I mean, when the last time you heard about, like, you don't never take me nowhere. Are you learning something? Don't get mad at him. That's not his language. He'd rather have it quick and good. See, y'all don't, can I teach the real, see, and here's, okay, see, y'all tripping, but, okay, men don't want a whole lot of time. We're working, we're trying to make it happen, we got to be here, we got to be there, so with our wife, we'd rather have a good hour. Well, not you. See, here's what you want. You want to go to dinner, then you want to talk at the movies. Then you want foreplay, and then maybe we just want to get to it. See, come on, all the men stand up and sit back down and say, I feel that, Pastor, I feel that. Don't leave me out here because I go home. I'm already tired. It's my third service. So if you want to know your husband, understand what turns him on. What turns him on is not a whole lot of time, but just some good time right quick. So as a woman, understand this, if you want a happy husband. I know there are nights I want him to romance me, but every now and then my wife will walk up to me and I'm sitting on the couch and she'll say, you want to do this right quick? I'd be like, yeah! You know, ain't no foreplay, ain't no movie, ain't no writing no letters. Let's just love down my kata. And then let me go right back to my game and my cereal, man. Come on, brothers. Y'all help me preach this. We don't want to hold you afterwards. But we'll do it because you like that. We want to get back to the game and the cereal, man. See, a lot of women say, Pastor, that's so selfish. That's his language. Learn him like he needs to. We don't understand you either. But we're trying to get to understand you. So I'm trying to tell you how to hook a brother up. The quicker the better. We don't want to make love all night. We want to make love 20 good minutes. See, y'all not hearing me. Y'all not, I'm through with that. Don't, you know. Number four, acts of service. Number one, stay with me, words of affirmation. Number two, receiving gifts. Number three, quality time. Number four, acts of service. Now men, most men like that one. Let's talk about acts of service. My wife and I were in the bed the other night and after a little kissy poo was finished and I was laying there and I just need you to be straight with me because if you don't be straight, you know, I'm gonna leave because I'm gonna get mad and leave. So listen to me, I'm just messing with you. Now hear me. Have you ever been laying in the bed, brother? And you were thinking, I want some Kool-Aid. Shh, listen to me. I mean, the love was great. Now you're in the bed. The bed is comfortable. The bed feels so good, and the kitchen is way down there, man. But you're thinking, if I could just get some Kool-Aid and a burnt bologna sandwich with some cheese on it. Burnt on the edges. Just, I'm from the projects. Y'all work with me. Now I'm just trying to, with some cheese on, just burnt. And I wanted to cut it in half and a couple cookies. And I don't want a regular cup. I want my cup. You know, y'all know my cup. Because I don't want to have to go back. Just put a bunch of ice in it and just pour all the juice in there, man. And I'll work out the difference later. Just. So I'm laying in the bed, man. And I said, baby, We both in the bed, comfortable, everything. I said, baby, I want some Kool-Aid and a sandwich. She was like, oh, I'll be right back. I was like, ooh, that's sexy to me, girl. Oh, my God. Did you feel that? I was like, you go, girl. Don't complain. Now, somebody, I ain't getting you no sandwich. I'm tired like you tired. I got to go to work and who you think I am? My mom ain't raised no slave. I'm in the bed. No, 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 no. She just got up, went and cooked what I wanted, brought it to me, no strings attached. And I ate it and got it all over the bed. And she didn't get mad. Oh, she did get mad at me about that, but that's another thing. Now, listen. She hate when I waste food in the bed. That's another sermon. Now, watch this. Here's what I'm telling you. Physical touch. Well, we all know men are sexual. So physical touch is important. What I'm teaching you is to learn the language of your husband so you can be submitted to that language. Now, because I love my wife, I understand there are other days she wants me to romance her all day. And I do that. And she wants me to talk to her. And so you got to do that. But women also understand every now and then, just give them a quick hookup and everything. And don't bother the brother because he's made different than you are. Do you know his language? Now, I want to talk about this because I'm tripping on something. Because last week I said, husbands, love your wives according to Ephesians 5. At the end of the chapter, it says, and wives, see to it that you respect your husbands. Now, I'm tripping saying, why does he keep telling me to love and her to respect? Now, of course, the Bible wants her to love me. Of course, the Bible wants me to respect her. But why does it seem to stress respect to her and love to me? Because God made both of us, and he knows what both of us need the most. So he says, husbands, love your wives. But watch this. If my wife never said to me in the next 10 years, baby, I love you, I wouldn't care. That's not important for me to hear. But if I'm talking to my kids, I say, when I'm talking to the kids, don't interrupt me. And she says, okay. Because she understands that if she demeans me in front of my children, she just robbed me of who I am. So I don't feel like a man right now. So when I'm talking to my children, and I don't care if she disagrees with me, don't interrupt me when I'm talking to my children. Because they already need to know who I am. And if you take my authority by disrespecting me or interrupting me, then they won't know who I am. Well, if she respects me and cleans my children and my daughter's hair is combed and my son is lotioned up and my house is clean, that's love to me. Talk to me, women. But women want to hear, I love you. Men don't necessarily want to hear that. Love to us is respect, admiration, doing what I ask you to do sometime without always jumping down my throat. That's a woman who's loving me. But here's the problem, and particularly if I'm talking to my children, we got issues. Because sometime, because we all have not done it perfectly, thank God for the grace of God, the children aren't even mine. So they're already not mine. And then you interrupt me when I'm talking to them. They already don't respect me all the way because I'm not their real father. And then you're throwing up their other father at me, and shit, they're throwing it up. So all I do is pay bills and shut up, huh? So it becomes vital that the woman respect her husband and teach the children to respect her husband. Amen? Amen. Go to 1 Peter with me real quickly. 1 Peter. And I'm nearly done. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. I want you to see this. 1 Peter 3. Now I'm going to read from the NLT version. I'm going to read from the NLT version. When you have 1 Peter 3, say amen. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 3. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husband, even those who refuse to accept the good news. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. They will be won over by watching your pure and godly behavior. Let me vernonize that. Look at me. I have women in the line every week that say, my husband is not saved, or he is saved, but he does not walk like a Christian. And it's hard for me to be submitted to somebody who does not live the way you say they ought to live, Pastor. According to the text, the Bible is saying that if you are married to somebody who is not saved, that the way to get them saved is in your godly lives rather than in your sermons, baby. In other words, he will be won over by how broken you are before God. If you are married to a man that's not saved, you can't go home every week saying, Pastor Vernon said. That's why he don't like me now. You can't bring up my name because Pastor Vernon don't help you pay your rent. Pastor Vernon don't sleep with you. Pastor Vernon, he may not be the man you want him to be, but thank God that he is part of a man and you knew how he was before you married him. Now that you didn't got Jesus, don't forget y'all met in the club. Oh my goodness. You can't get Jesus and get the word and then you're mad at him because he didn't grow as fast as you grew. Y'all didn't meet at church. When you met him, he was dating somebody or dating some all kind of crazy stuff. And now you got the word of God and you're ready to leave him because he ain't on fire for God like you are. No. You be subject even to a man that's not what he should be. Because here's what the Bible says. In your godly behavior, here you are submitting to a fool. He's watching you, and he say, don't go to that church before you make my food. Yes, baby, I'll make your food before I go. Then you come home, and he say, I know you've been to church. Yes, sir, we had a blessed day. Did you get your food, baby? Yes, I did. And he's thinking to himself, how she submitting to me, and I know I'm not right. That's how you get a brother saved. That's how you make a brother want to come to your church. Not talking about Pastor Vernon said. No, you live what the Bible says live. And here's what I got to say, that television America watching my TV, nobody's ready for this. What if I told you that you may do what I'm telling you, woman, and he never change? Now here come the kingdom. What if I told you that your lot in life may be to be submitted to a man who it takes 30 years before he finally gets saved? But when you get to heaven, Jesus will say, thou good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things. Come on up a little higher. I'll make you ruler over many. Who's ready for that? But Pastor, that's not fair. Watch me. Is it fair for a man to be born with no legs? Is it fair for a man to be born blind? Is it fair for a baby to be born with crack? So what should they do, roll over and die? Or keep praising God in the wheelchair? If you're married to a man that's not what you want him to be, you still praise the Lord and say, at least I got a piece of man, and you make him what you want him to be in your time, Jesus. So God told me to make sure while I'm teaching this series that I don't teach it like a fairy tale. There are some of you that will sit here for 8 weeks and think by getting this teaching, everything's going to shift. Maybe God ain't trying to shift him. He's trying to shift you. Sometimes God ain't going to fix him, but he will fix you. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the mercy. Somebody ought to say, Lord, fix me. Don't make me preach up in here. There is no guarantees in life. Life is life. Here's the difference. I'm finished. Hear me. The Bible is not hook me up, I'll hook you up. Husbands, love your wives. Period. But she don't tell me nothing about her. Love her. But she don't shut up. Love her. But she don't clean up. No. Watch what it says in the text. It's an imperative. Love her. If she's unlovable, we got too many spouses walking around playing, if you be good, I'll be good. Because I ain't nobody's fool. You better be a fool for God and say, Lord, whatever you tell me to do for him, I'm going to do it. If he don't do nothing for me the rest of my life, we got to get to another level. I'm passionate about this because y'all don't know how many people are divorcing each other and cheating on each other and running around making babies because the pulpit won't be honest. We got to get right because God is trying to pull the family together. And until we learn our role, he says, your godly life, which means that there are women here who husbands are not what they should be. They come to church, but they don't act like church. They don't speak into their life. They don't pray with them. And you come to church and you hear Pastor Vernon say all these wonderful things about what he does to Lady Vernon. And then you go home and you want him to be Pastor Vernon and you to be Lady Vernon. But that's my life. This is your life. Amen. And my life ain't perfect. We got our issues, so don't ever look at me and think it's all whatever. Everybody got things they got to deal with. It's just another level of drama. You got one drama, I got another one. But my wife and I just decided whatever the drama is, if we got God in front of us and put him in the middle of it, so you think you want to be us, but we got our own stuff we got to deal with. Thank God for who you got. And if he's saved, watch me, women, if he's peace of saved, at least he had enough courage to come this morning. He may not know the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, but if the brother trying to go to work and trying to kiss your daughter, and especially if he didn't make him either, and if he made him, all you ought to say, Lord, thank you, because somebody, some woman wish she had a piece of man, and I got somebody that's trying, and he needs you to encourage him instead of always complaining. Submit yourself. You have a husband that's trying to be a father. Well, Pastor, but he's not, listen to me, when you met him, y'all was dancing in a club. When you met him, he was street. You didn't got six verses in you, and because he's not coming fast as you, you ready to get divorced so you can get pastor or get elder or get deacon. They may drive you more crazy than your husband. You better love the one you with. Don't make me I love you. I applaud every man here that's trying. I want you to get better, but I thank you for trying. This, no, verse 3 of 1 Peter. Don't be concerned, women, please catch this, about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, NLT, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Verse 4 says, you should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, when she called him master. I can't even go there. I mean, y'all ain't ready for me to go there. I mean, you know, how's she gonna call a man master? She didn't call a man master. She called her husband master. Y'all ain't ready for that. No. Look up the word. It's not master in the sense of Jesus, but master in the sense of you're the covering of this house. Here's where I'm going. He says, and remember now, in that day, women were very at home. Most women, this is important, did not work. Most of them were at home. And he says, don't be concerned with how you look. I look at the word church, and I don't know if there's finer women anywhere in the world. I think all the fine women joined the word church in Cleveland. Just beautiful women, just beautiful, head to toe, shaped nice, cute, hair done. I mean, the men at our church, I'll say there's some beautiful women here. And I applaud your beauty because God made you beautiful. And so they come in, their hair is done, and their toes are done, and they're dressed nice, and they're shaped nice. And you can tell they spent, but their hearts, hear me, because all their life, their shape has got them through. And men have liked them because they knew what to put on at the right time. And so they've been working all their life on external stuff. They have master's degrees. They make more money than the average man they'll ever date. They're cute. They're self-sufficient. They have houses. They have real estate. But they don't know how to be wives. They don't know how to be mothers, but they are so cute. They are so professional. But the church and the mothers got away. So women are taught, get you a degree, but she can't make a cake. Get you a degree, but she can't make macaroni and cheese without a box. That ain't no macaroni you making. Get that mess out my face and cut me up some cheese. Thank you, Lady Vernon. Don't shoot. You keep doing what you do. Oh. My wife has a bachelor's degree, but no one can outcook her. I don't eat canned nothing. Oh, pastors, that's not how, well, and you're getting married talking about, now I don't know how to cook. Well, how are we going to eat? Because I'm not going to cook and pay the bills. Somebody going to cook up in here. Y'all not mad at me. Come on now. Can't make nothing from scratch. What are we teaching our daughters? Be educated, but you can't be a mother? So all the girls got degrees, but none of them can wash a man's underclothes. So when all of my intelligence clash with you, that's when we figure out you don't know how to be a wife. And you wonder why the men are running for the women who are less smart but more submitted. You can be smart, you can be intelligent, you can have a degree, and still understand that God put me. So here's what he says. I'm finished, women. Watch what he says. Don't be defined by how cute your shape is or your degree. He says, but by their quiet spirit. This is not prehistoric trying to get all women to be quiet, men do all the talking. No, here, but the Bible does say, so I don't have to apologize for it, she should have a quiet spirit. Quiet spirit is more than a quiet mouth, but it will lead to not talking all the time. In other words, please hear me, and I know it seems like I brag on her. Let me tell you something. My wife wasn't right. I just wouldn't talk about her, period. I just play it off and preach the Bible. But I don't lie. If she ain't right, I ain't gonna make her seem right like some brothers. She ain't right, she ain't right. The members know she ain't right, and you try to make her right. Amen. But the members can see what I'm saying is true. My wife has, and everyone knows that the ladies under her, the members, a quiet spirit. Why is that important? Because of what I do. Look at me, women. My life is noisy, and it's so noisy. People lying on me, looking for dirt on me, preachers jealous, city this and that, all kind of stuff. And I come home sometime, and I need you women to hear me. And I come home, and I walk in the door, and I had to play it off all day at work because I had to make them think I got it under control because I'm their leader, their CEO, their pastor at the office. But they don't know I was hurting about what somebody lied on me and said or made some rumor about our ministry or said something. And so I come home and there's something in the floor and I kick the thing in the floor and say, Dominique Shanae, all y'all come down here and pick up this stuff right now. And I'm not really mad at the thing on the floor. I'm mad at everything that happened at work. But I can't take it out on nobody. So I say, Victory, where's my food? And what if she said, what if she start cussing me out? But no, she says, I got your food, baby. Y'all do what your daddy said, hurry up. Because she understands that at that moment I got so much pressure on me. I don't need no mouth, I need submission. And she don't think she's stupid because her friends say she's stupid. Her friends wish they had, oh God. Because if they was in my house, they'd be picking up everything too, trying to get. She didn't let me disrespect her. If I go too far, she'll say, no, that's too far now. But she don't just cuss me out every time I raise my voice. And if I went too far, she'll tell me later, not in the moment that I'm upset. You wonder why I'm so happy every time I come to church. Because I have a wife who submits, who's more concerned with being beautiful on the inside. Because these women at the Word Church don't need a diva first lady. They need a wife that will hug them and have a quiet spirit, not a big hat, big jewelry. Forget all that mess. I need a first lady that has a quiet spirit. have not met a better first lady. I don't need a diva to outdress me every Sunday. I need a first lady to hug me and tell me I can make it. The same thing she does for you, she does for me. I want the women of this church, irregardless of how your husband is, submit to him. You're not stupid. You're a kingdom. Don't listen to your friends. Don't listen to your mother if she wasn't raised right. Listen to the Bible. Don't even listen to pastor. Listen to the Bible. Women, submit, yield, and say, I don't care what my friends say or Oprah say or Ebony magazine say. This is the man I'm with. He's not perfect, man. I wish he had some things that were better about him. I wish he made more money. I wish he talked to me more. But Lord, because of you, whatever this man asks me to do within my power the rest of my life, I'm going to submit. And I don't care what people think about me, because this is my husband. And maybe he'll never love me, right? Maybe you'll give me joy for doing the right thing. Lord, I didn't see it in front of me. My mother did not do it for my father. Every man I've ever trusted hurt me. And now that I have a husband, I'm taking out a lot of stuff on him. And Lord, he needs to be a better husband. But for one day in my life, I'm not going to think about what he's not. I'm going to think about what I need to be. If he's perfect, if he's imperfect, you called me to be something. Lord, help me to submit. Make me over. Somebody ought to say, Lord, make me over, make me over, make me over.
Make Jesus. Me over again.
Somebody ought to say, Lord, make me over.
Make me over again.
I'm looking for some women that will just reach your hands in the air and say, I'm too emotional, I'm too moody, I'm too evil, I got too much malice in my heart against my ex, I got so much stuff that don't make me love this man right, and he ain't gonna never get himself together if I don't get myself together. I want to say to you women, I'm so proud of you because you put up with a lot. But I just want to ask our daughters of the word to understand that the Bible doesn't seem to be a fair book. It just is what it is. If the Bible tells you to submit, then you submit. Don't you be concerned about what other people tell you. You're not stupid. You're kingdom. If he's not right and then you're not right, what do the kids have? The only chance they have is that while he's growing, you're at least staying kingdom. But if he's not right and you're cussing him out and all that, then what do they have? And if he goes to this church, in particular if he's in leadership, if he comes every Sunday, you need to understand that you're 90% there already, because he's under this word. And man, wives would kill to have a man that came to church. So if you got somebody that's already here and trying and sitting next to you, oh, you halfway there. You ought to really be on your face, because there are women who are losing their mind, and you got a good husband. There should be nothing he asks for you don't try to do, because you've been blessed with something that is special. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word today. I pray that wives will know that their pastor loves them so much. And I just want to see their house become what it needs to be. Lord, we ask now that you would just touch every woman, those that are single. Help them to make a decision today. Do they want to be married, or do they just want to have sex? Do they want to be married, or do they just want some help with their bills? Do they want to be married? Are they willing to break everything they've been taught and reteach themselves in the kingdom? Are they willing to get rid of all the street stuff that mama said that their friend said, that their co-worker said, and allow the Bible to be their teacher. Lord, our women who are single, help them to start submitting right now so they'll be prepared when they get married. Help them to start cooking and cleaning and getting ready. I know they're smart. I know they're educated. But we don't need more educated. We need more wives and mothers. Education is a plus, but we need wives and mothers first to raise our children and to love the men of God. Prepare our women at the Word to be wives. Thank you for their professional career. They have to put food on their table. But most of all, help them to be wives and mothers first in the kingdom agenda. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, everybody, get on your feet right now. I know y'all can feel that. Come on. I need everybody in the building to put those hands together.
I know y'all can feel it.
Come on, what about y'all over here? Can y'all feel that?
Just say it.